In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus himself says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. He who suffered and died on the cross rose from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. We're going to remind ourselves this morning about the centrality of the resurrection and the life of the Christian. We're going to do this first by thinking of the certainty of the resurrection, and then secondly, the significance of the resurrection. Firstly, the certainty of the resurrection. How do we know that Jesus actually rose from the dead? The angels declared it. The depravity and the brutality of sinful men like us sent our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to the cross. And shortly after he spoke these merciful words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, he breathed his last and he died on that cross. He was then taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and laid in the tomb. That all happened prior to the start of the Sabbath, late afternoon on the Friday. On the Sunday morning, the women expected to go to the tomb to complete the anointing of Jesus' body. But it was gone. Who removed the body? Surely, not the priests and the scribes and the other enemies of Christ who had crucified him. If they had Christ's body to show, to disprove the resurrection, they would have gladly shown it. Neither did his disciples or any of the followers of the Messiah. They were too frightened. Remember, they all had fled prior to his crucifixion, and they had nothing to gain by his body. One explanation, and only one, could explain the case. And we see that in Luke chapter 24, from verse 4 to 6. Two angels described to us as men in dazzling apparel, angels, had rolled away the stone in front of the tomb. And the women were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground. Then the angels spoke to them in verse 5, saying, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Who in all creation is worthy and credible to make the announcement and to bring such good news? Think of it. At the time of Jesus' birth, who announced the news? An angel. And then a multitude of angels announced the news to the shepherds. When Jesus comes again in all his glory, who is going to announce the news? The angels will announce it by blowing the great trumpet. It is the same with the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection was breaking news, and God had sent his angels to declare it. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2, we read that the earth shook. an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and there was a great earthquake. God sent his angel to announce the important news, the earth-shaking news. Everything about the angels speaks of honor and credibility. Could there have been more suitable messengers? No. Jesus is risen. That was their clear message. There was no room for any misunderstanding. But more than that, prophets also foretold it. To make the message abundantly clear, the angels reminded the women of Jesus' words. In Luke chapter 24, verses 6 and 7, they said, "Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered over into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." In Luke chapter 18, the passage that was just read to us a little bit earlier, verses 31 to 33, and in various other places, Jesus himself clearly predicted his death and his resurrection. In Luke chapter 18, he took the disciples aside, the 12, and he said to them, "See, I am going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written concerning the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished, for he will deliver it over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked, and he will be shamefully treated, and he will be spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." There's a tone of amazement in the angel's message to the woman. Not amazement because Jesus rose, but because the women did not expect it, even though it was foretold so clearly and repeatedly. What was said beforehand about the resurrection of Jesus by himself and the prophets and the Psalms came to pass. But there's more. The empty tomb also testifies to it. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 3, we read that the women went into the tomb and did not find the body of Jesus there. The tomb in which Jesus laid was empty. The stone had not been rolled away, so that Jesus' body could be carried out, but so that the witnesses could go into the tomb and find it empty. How do we know that Jesus was raised from the dead? The grave was empty. The angels told the women, and prophecy said it would happen. But more than that, notice, eyewitnesses saw the resurrected Christ. Jesus physically appeared and was seen by eyewitnesses as further evidence and proof of his resurrection. Luke does not tell us about Jesus' resurrection appearances to the women, but we know from Matthew, Mark, and John that Jesus appeared to the women before they arrived to tell the disciples. It seemed as if Jesus appeared to the women on two separate occasions. In the one appearance, the women were on their way to tell the disciples about the empty tomb and what the angels had told them. Which women? Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, Salome, and possibly more. We read in this appearance in Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and they clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The other appearance was when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20, verse 14 to 17. Both these appearances, the woman had no doubt whatsoever that they had met and saw the risen Christ. They recognized him. They held him. And they worshipped him. After his resurrection, the Lord appeared to different people and who became witnesses of his resurrection. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul. He cites the eyewitnesses to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says, "I delivered to you that which is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And then he appeared, first to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. Then he also appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of them still alive to this day, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as a man untimely born. There were hundreds of witnesses. Then one that one would have been able to go to in the first century who personally saw the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes. Having said that, I want to mention something about the women who were the first ones to see the resurrected Jesus. Why did Jesus appear to them at first? Because they were there. It's an interesting little detail, but a very significant one. They were there when Jesus died on the cross. They were there when Joseph of Arimathea buried the body of Jesus in the tomb. They were there first thing on the Sunday morning to put spices on Jesus' body. Some of these women followed Jesus all the way from Galilee. They believed in him. They loved him. They followed him like true disciples. They wanted to be close to him. And so when something special happened, naturally, they were there. There are many people who are rarely there. There when it counts. They rarely come to church. They rarely spend time with God and with his people. They rarely read their Bibles and pray, and then they wonder, why is my spiritual life so lifeless? These Christian women stuck with Jesus through thick and thin, through better and worse. And they had an encounter with the resurrected Christ. Let me tell you the story of Terry. Terry is a lifeguard in Liverpool, England. He says, "I was an accidental pregnancy, and my dad was violent toward me. I hung out with local gangs and was arrested at the age of 12 for car theft and 13 for drug use. I was expelled from school, fired from my first job, and I got involved with football hooliganism. After the 1985 Hazel Stadium tragedy, in which 39 Italian football fans died, I was the first person to be charged with manslaughter. I was released from prison, then I became a drug dealer. I fled to Europe to escape the police. Decided to seek a better life, I went back to Liverpool and I handed myself into the police. Before I was sentenced, I met with some Christians who said that they would pray for me. Amazingly, I was released by the police, so I decided to go to a local church. The preacher spoke about how because of Jesus' death, God forgives us, changes us, gives us hope of heaven, because he was raised from the dead. Jesus seemed to be the answer to my life. I believed, and I became a Christian. I slowly changed. Eventually, God broke every addiction, and physically and psychologically, I recovered. God helped me to become caring and less selfish. 20 years after the Hazel incident, I went to Italy to apologize for what I had done. Terry said, I am a Christian today because Jesus died in my place and I have become a child of God because Jesus rose from the dead. Let me summarize. Jesus is risen. That is certain. The angels declared it. Prophecy foretold it. The empty tomb testified to it. Now, if there is still any doubt, then Jesus' physical appearances should lay that to rest. Having looked at the certainty of the resurrection, let us now think about the significance of the resurrection. What makes the resurrection so significant? Such a great thing. Let me suggest two reasons from our text. Firstly, the living is not found among the dead. This is suggested by the question that the angel asked the women in verse 5. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Clearly, the woman had visited the tomb, expecting to see a dead man, a corpse. The woman had seen Jesus die and be buried. Their minds were on death. But the death of Jesus means the death of death itself, because he overcame death by rising from it. He conquered death through his resurrection. Jesus was therefore not found among the dead. And this is important to note for the believer and the unbeliever alike. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. That means that Christians do not follow a dead man, not a dead prophet, a guru, a sage, a mullah, but a living Savior. That means that life's terminal, the end point, is no longer death, but life everlasting, resurrection life. And that also means that all Jesus' claims are true. The most significant being that he is the Son of God, one with God himself. No human can overcome death. But since there is a God who created life, it is he who must overcome death as well. And if Jesus is God, we shouldn't be surprised that he rose from the dead. Secondly, the resurrection had to occur, preceded by Jesus being handed over by sinful men and being crucified. That is clearly stated by the angels in verses 6b and 7. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. If Christ was not handed over to be crucified, there is no sacrifice for sins. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, which is the penalty of sin, then death was not conquered, and there is no forgiveness of sins. So a chain reaction was set into motion irreversibly from the moment of Jesus' birth, through his life and his ministry, his trial, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It even goes further to his ascension, where he sits and rules at the right hand of the Father to return to judge the living and the dead. These historical events show us that history is not a blind, aimless march to nothingness and meaninglessness. History is a record of God's redeeming work with mankind through the cross and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. A rudimentary reading of the Gospel of Luke creates the expectation that there must be a resurrection. For example, when Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead, and so also Jairus' little daughter, the question is, will he rise himself? Four times he predicts his own death and says he will certainly rise. Jesus speaks to Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, dead men who are now alive. Question, will Jesus live forever? Jesus asks people to follow him, take up their crosses, give up their lives, so that they may be able to save it and acknowledge him. And then he will acknowledge them before God and the holy angels. And in order for him to do that, he must rise. Go back to the birth of the Lord Jesus. When it was announced by the angel, we are told that he will be called the Son of God, the Most High God, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and to his kingdom there will be no end. If he had to die, which he did, then he had to rise from the dead, which he did. Let us be frank. A Christ who is not risen from the dead cannot save. Christianity without the risen Christ is little different to any other religion. And then there is nothing better to offer people: ethics, morality, and a philosophical system. The scripture is very clear. If Christ is not risen, my preaching to you today is empty. Your faith is futile. If Christ is not risen, we are all still in our sins. And there is no hope for life after death if Christ is not risen. Then we, as Christians, are the most pitiable people on the face of the earth. If Christ has not risen, then Terry's faith is invalid and his testimony is not worth listening to. Neither is yours and mine if we claim to be Christians. The resurrection is significant because it validates the death of Jesus Christ. It proves forgiveness of sin and it confirms him to be the Savior of the world. The resurrection shows that Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Let us close with a few points of reflection. Firstly, the world has seen great events that shaped history. Take, for example, the invention of the printing press by Johannes Gutenberg in 1440. It has been one of the biggest inventions of all times. Take, for example, Alexander Fleming's discovery of penicillin in 1928, an antibiotic that still remains one of the greatest medical discoveries. Think of the First and the Second World Wars, 1914 to 1918, 1939 to 1945. It left deep scars in the lives of millions. Think of the discovery of the digital computer or the birth of the internet in 1983 and how that shaped the world. These and many others were great events, but none of them are greater and more significant than the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It is estimated that 109 billion people lived and died in the history of the world, considering the fact that today there are about 8 billion people alive. That is a staggering number of deaths. But only one in the history of this world died and then rose from the dead, never to die again, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, should that not spark interest in all of us mere mortals who will face death sooner or later in this overcomer of death who is also the Savior of the world? May I ask you, how interested are you in Him? Did you know that Jesus' resurrection guarantees our resurrection? Children, did you know this? Because Jesus rose from the dead, you too will one day rise from the dead. And if you are a believer in Jesus, this should be a great encouragement to you. The resurrection will be wonderful for the believer. But unfortunately, it will be terrifying for the unbeliever. Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and verse 29, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." May these words of our Savior cause us to think deeply. Much loved, sorely missed, always loved, never forgotten, remembered every day, forever in our hearts, cherished memories forever. These are examples of words on gravestones in Pinneroo Cemetery. I think it is fair to say, oh, it is so hard, the finality that death brings. Oh yes, I came across another one too. If love could have saved you, you would have lived forever. Jesus himself knew what it was like to lose a loved one. He loved Lazarus. He wept over his death. He said something profound to Lazarus' sister Martha, who was also grieving the death of her brother. He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It turns out that love can save you. And you can live forever. And so can I. It is found in the deep love of God showed in the sacrificial death of Jesus and sealed in his resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Though we may die, we shall live. Children, do you believe this? Adults, what do you say? Charles Spurgeon had this to say. Upon a life I did not live. Upon a death I did not die. I risk my whole eternity. And the resurrection is why. What does the resurrection mean to you? Some people might say it's a nice story for children. Others might say, well, I don't think it matters all that much. Some might say, interesting, but not for me. Others might say, I don't know what it means to me. Initially, the woman at the tomb forgot what Jesus said to them that he would rise. And the disciples, when they heard the report from the women, thought it was nonsense at first that he had raised from the dead. The angels had to explain to the woman, and it was only until they saw the resurrected Jesus for themselves that they believed and their hearts were filled with joy. The cure for doubt and unbelief is for the Holy Spirit of God to give us a faith to believe, the faithful witness of the angels, the words of the prophets, the evidence of the empty tomb, the eyewitnesses' testimonies, as recorded in Scripture. The answer lies in a deeper love for Christ, and affections more deeply set on the things of God. We do not easily forget the things that we love and the things that we constantly keep under our watch. The more our affections are centered on Christ, the easier it will be to remember his words. For he himself said, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I have the keys that unlocks death and the place of the dead, which is the grave and hell. Question: what are you and I going to do about that? May I leave you with these words? See God's salvation plan, wrought in love, born in pain, paid in sacrifice, fulfilled in Christ the man, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. Let us close by singing the resurrection hymn.